We read the Holy Scriptures tonight in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 is a chapter on Christian living. We're going to start our reading at verse 33 of chapter 11. This is Paul's doxology to the first 11 chapters in which he's explained to us the doctrine of our salvation. So we're reading now at Romans 11:33 into chapter 12. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath directed the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. May God sanctify these words to our hearts. We look at the first two verses tonight. We read, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Christian doctrine produces Christian living. We find the desire and the power of grace to live a life that is pleasing to God as we draw closer to Him, His throne, and what He has done for us in our salvation. Christian doctrine, when it lives in the heart by a God-given faith, produces Christian holy living. If the doctrine that is taught in this Christian church does not produce that in our hearts, then that testifies that our heart is stale or dead. And then that doctrine begins to testify against us. If true Christian faith is in our hearts, but we don't give ourselves to study the Word and the doctrine, then we will begin to produce our own reasons for living the Christian life. Christian truth produces Christian living. Therefore, the fourth word of the text, therefore, I'm talking about that word, therefore. When you see the word therefore, you ask the question, what is it therefore? The word therefore is drawing a conclusion, an implication from what goes before it, from what the Apostle Paul has just been teaching. He's saying to us, the Spirit is saying to us, if you got what I just wrote, if you got it where it needs to be in your heart, then you, therefore, you will be presenting your body as a sacrifice to God in praise. You'll be devoted to Him in your body, in your life, what you do with your body, if you get what I wrote. We ask the question then of the Holy Spirit and of Paul, how far do you want us to look back? Therefore means something that he's just said brings this implication. How far do we look back? We began at verse 33 in the doxology, and some would say we just need to look back to that and to verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things. God is the source of everything. God's the purpose of everything. He's the power of everything. Therefore, let's present our bodies to him. That's true. But really, the apostle is referring to all the first 11 chapters in the book of Romans. This is the beginning of a new section in the book of Romans, from the doctrine now to the Christian life. Just as in Ephesians 4, verse 1, three chapters Paul gives in Ephesians to the doctrine of the church, and then he says in chapter 4, therefore, I beseech you, as the slave of Christ, that ye walk in all lowliness of mind, and so on. So also here, the apostle, beginning in chapter 1, has been painting the most beautiful picture of Christian doctrine. As he painted, he began with a dark background of our depravity. And then he painted in words the coming up of the light of Jesus Christ and his perfect righteousness for us. He went on to show us the fields of a sanctified life. In chapter 8, he taught us of the assurance of salvation. In chapter 9, he taught us the roots of that salvation. He pointed down to the eternal predestination of God. In those first 11 chapters, Paul has taught depravity, justification by faith, sanctification, assurance, predestination. Therefore what? Having heard all that doctrine and seen that picture, therefore, go put it on a shelf. check out. No. Therefore, present your body a living sacrifice to God. I want you to see that the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, is seeking to overwhelm us with this. He doesn't just use the word therefore, but look how he surrounds it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. When he uses the words the mercies of God, he is summarizing himself, the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans. He's writing the title for that beautiful picture of God's salvation. He says, here's the picture of that salvation, the mercies of God. I've been talking to you about the mercies of God, about his compassion unto you, to awful sinners. I've been talking to you about the greatest conceivable treasures of salvation. I've been talking to you about particular mercies. This word mercy in the first verse is the same word it's used here and also in Romans 9, verse 18, where we read, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. God's mercy is particular, determined by God himself. And he's saying that particular, that incredible, that irresistible, that inscrutable mercy, whereby God elected you, whereby God chose you, whereby God redeemed you, whereby God justified, preserved, and he's going to glorify you. By that, I say to you, therefore, if God has done this, this can't be in vain in your life. It will mean that, not perfectly, but it will mean that I feel I must, I want to, I will endeavor to present my body as a sacrifice of praise to God. It will not produce a shrug, but it will produce, by the Holy Spirit, a tug on the heart for the Christian life. Call your attention to presenting our bodies a living sacrifice to God. This is a priestly sacrifice done in a holy manner with strong motivation. So God is calling us in our text to present our bodies in devotion and praise to him. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The word service you may translate worship, which is your make sense. It makes sense then to worship God this way. By our bodies, even our children can understand what he means by our bodies. He means me. He means you. He means your arms and your legs. He means your eyes and your ears. He means our hands and our feet. But he doesn't mean just the physical parts of our bodies. He means our words, our actions, where we go, our deeds. And he means more than that. He means all of me. My body includes my heart, not my physical heart, my spiritual heart. My emotions, it includes my thoughts, it includes my will and my desire. Devote everything that God has made you as a human in service to God. Each one of us with a unique body, with a personal body, as we know that souls are not interplaced into different bodies, your body and your soul, you in your body. Devote that body, thoughts, emotions, words, everything about that body, devote it in service, in praise to God because of his mercies to you. This is what Paul had already taught, or the Holy Spirit, in Romans chapter 6, the chapter on sanctification, verses 12 and 13. We read, let not therefore sin reign, rule in your mortal body. Don't let it rain there. Don't use your body, your physical body, unto sin. Don't let sin reign, that ye should obey it, sin in its lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members, every member, eye, sexual member, thoughts, desires, yield your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Philippians 1, verse 20, that we began the service is very similar. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so also now, Christ shall be magnified in my body. Not just the head, in what my body does in life or death. We know that those bodies, as I was saying a moment ago, is so connected to us, our souls. It's me. You touched me. You slapped me. You kicked me. Our body and ourselves. This body is not a shell. This body is me. Ephesians chapter 5, 29. No man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nurtures and cherishes it, even as the Lord. Present your body, we read, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, means present, that is, deliberately and consciously, intentionally do that. Say, here I am, Lord, in my body, in what I'm going to do with my body, in what I'm going to say, and what I'm going to think, where I'm going to go. Here I am, Lord. I present it on an altar of sacrifice to you. Do this because we learned again this morning, the body is not mine, but belongs to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only present your body to the Lord, but 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 and following, beat down your body. It means don't let your body in its sinful urges just take you away. But Paul says, I beat it down. I fight the sinful urges of my own body. He uses the figure of boxing, and he says, I don't shadow box. I don't just try to put on a good appearance of, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. But I fight to discipline the sinful urges of my body. Do this continually, moment by moment, when no one sees you. When you're tempted to become angry and use your body to express your anger, beat down your body, present your body as a sacrifice of praise. That's God's word. And this would be a good motivation or a good meditation at the beginning of every day, that we say, Lord, the body that thou hast given is redeemed and is not to be wasted. It's not to be wasted by wasting it in front of a television for hours. It's not to be wasted in all kinds of sinful pursuits. Lord, I'm not the master of this body. You are the master of this body. I want to present my body today in service to you. Now, Paul is, as you see in the text, he's presenting this in terms of the Christian priesthood. He says, present it as a living sacrifice. And that brings back the doctrine of the name Christ. He is prophet, priest, and king. And as Christians, we share in the anointing of Christ so that we are prophets, priests, and kings. And he's looking at that priestly office, the priesthood of all believers, a living sacrifice. And he's thinking, the Holy Spirit would have us think of Leviticus chapters 1 through 7, where you have all the Old Testament sacrifices that had to be presented in the tabernacle. And he's not thinking of the sacrifice of atonement, which would take away sin. He's not thinking about that. Christ alone made the sacrifice and the atonement for sin. But he's thinking of the many sacrifices that were given in response of gratitude for that atonement. When they would bring a lamb, when they would bring a turtle dove, when they would bring a pigeon, when they would bring meal and grain and barley, and they would present it on the altar to God. They would burn it up to God as an expression of devotion unto God. And he's saying, present your body then as a sacrifice, a devotion to God. So we present to God, we express our thankfulness to God, not simply in the things that we give, the budget, benevolence, deeds of charity. If that's all we do, then we could just as well keep it, because the Lord doesn't need it. But you present yourself, the devotion of your heart, means that we give our best to the Lord. All of our life, you give your best, you do your best with what he's given you for the Lord's sake. Children, what would happen if somebody in the Old Testament would bring a thank offering to God? He brings this little lamb to God, and the priest sees that a wolf tore one ear off, or he sees that that lamb is blind. What would happen if they brought a turtle dove and one of the wings was broken? They would bring a pigeon and the pigeon was almost dead. The priest would say, you can't offer that. What are you? You bringing your castaways to God? You bringing what you don't really want anymore to God? That will be good enough for him? Is that what we do? Do we bring our, well, yeah, I guess I have this moment to do this moment, or do we just fit God in, or do we bring him the first and the best? He says, bring a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship. Old Testament, these sacrifices must have these characteristics. They must be living. We must do it from a living heart. Not just because I was told to do this, but from that new life within. We must do it wholly, as a product of the work of the Holy Spirit within me. We must do it to be well-pleasing to God, not to be well-pleasing to others, not to score points with others, but to be well-pleasing to God. We must do this as worship. Our bodies and everything we do every day, school, work, whatever it is, whatever we do in our bodies, thoughts, desires, hearts, as we go through our life, must be an act of worship before God. We do it to God. Therefore, in the light of his mercies, as a Christian priest, present your whole life in the body as worship to God. Just a few applications. First of all, this means that your body, as a young person, as an old person, as any person, is not worthless. No matter if you complain about your nose, your shape, your looks, your hair, no matter if we complain that we're old and feeble and have arthritis, no matter even if we have chemo treatments, no matter even we look at the mirror and we feel useless and we say, I don't like my body, God gave you that body and God put it together and has it together today. He wants, and he wants you in that body to testify of him, no matter how you and I, and then we have to change what we think about it, its appearance, its size. We read this morning, what? Do you not know that you were purchased with a price? That's your body. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God, with all its supposed shortcomings. And yes, we are under the curse of sin, with all of its creaks and groans, with all of its things. It is purchased, and it is valuable to the Lord. The idea that the human body is just a shell, that's all it is. Got the inner self, and the human body is a shell, is a pagan idea. It's a Greek pagan idea. It is not a biblical idea. And yes, we do yearn to be released at times from our body, to be with the Lord. But the release is that we might be released from sin. Not necessarily our body, because the body is going to be raised like to his glorious body. Your body is not worthless. Number two, your body is not the servant of sin. Your body is sanctified. Do not think that, well, I believe these doctrines and I'm sanctified in Christ, and you know what I do, if I drink too much, I get drunk, if I fall into fornication, if I'm on drugs or whatever, and what I do in my body doesn't amount to anything. What? Don't you know that your body is purchased and sanctified by Jesus Christ? It is no longer an instrument for sin. Don't do with that body what you want to do. Don't do that which debases, lowers. Don't dress the body any way you want and portray it any way you want or paint it any color you want. Don't lower women, sisters in Christ, to sex objects and give off that impression that that's what we want as men. Don't use your body to practice vile, sinful sexual things. Don't be drunk. God has made and redeemed the body. He is interested in your body. Satan is interested in your body. He wants to bring that body into bondage and destroy it and enslave it. We are interested in our bodies. We want to make our bodies, often in pride, beautiful and strong. The world is very interested in your body and what you do with it. And especially, the world is interested in young women's bodies. But of all those who are interested in your body, only God is interested in its good, in what is pleasing and acceptable and perfect. We read this morning, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, Sex is not for outside of marriage. Eyes are not for pornography. We are not to change our body from a man to a woman or a woman to a man. We are not to portray our body in our dress. It is to be in modesty, not form-fitting. We are not to use our mouth for profanities. We are sanctified. Your body is not the servant of sin. I know we sin through the body. That's why we beat down, we fight. But the body is not for sin. It's for the Lord. That also means that your body is not for sloth, but it's for service. Laziness is a sin against the body that God has given to us. School is going to begin. Laziness with the mind. We must not be lazy. We must do our work. We must do our work, especially as men and women today in this sinful culture in which we live. We must find a job, if God gives that job, and we must devote ourselves to that job, and we must give our employer the efforts of our body. We don't decide, well, he's paying me this much. He'll get that much. No. When you work for someone, you glorify God in that body, and you work for that person to represent Christ. There must not be laziness in our bodies in going to church. You must not say, well, I overslept, I'm too tired today. We must be in church. There must not be laziness in our bodies in the study of Holy Scripture. There must not be laziness in our body to care for the needs of our families. And ask God to give us the ability to do that. Our body is for the Lord as a sacrifice of thankfulness to Him. I was going to mention about the abortion industry and my body and the right to do with my body as I seem good. And the scriptures say, no, the women of God referred to themselves as the handmaiden of men. No, of the Lord. And thus, the blessing of a precious life within the womb. The body has a role in our sanctification. To live a holy life is not just a matter of what's in here. It's not just the different truths that I know and believe. It's in the body. We are priests to dedicate the body to God. How do we do that? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, demonstrate. We want to demonstrate in how we live in our body what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We must not be conformed to the world in the use of our bodies, in how we live with our bodies. We must not conform ourselves to this world. The scriptures are speaking to us as the children of God. But the children of God who are still sinful and have that old man of sin. And further, is speaking to us as children of God because we are created to imitate. We imitate what we see. The little girls at the campfire imitate their moms. The little boys riding their bicycles through the conference center imitate their fathers. They imitate you. They were made that way. And the scriptures say to us, don't imitate the world. Don't be conformed to the world. The word world here is literally present age. Galatians 1 verse 4 translates it this way, the present evil age. Don't be conformed by the world, the age, the culture, the thinking in which you are living, this age. The age in which God has called us to serve Him. Don't be conformed to this world. The great evil today is that the world has a pressure to conform us to itself, especially with what we do with the body. Our age is intolerant of Jesus Christ. It's intolerant of godliness. It's intolerant of holiness. Our age says, you must be like us. We want everybody like us. And so they will put pressure on you. Wherever you go, whatever age, you need to be like us. And they will say to you, you're different in how you live with your body than the majority of the people on earth, on the whole planet. The whole planet is not like you, and you are even different from the majority of professing Christians. Even they are not like you. And why do you have to be different? Don't you understand? They say to you, don't you understand? We dominate here on earth. We set the rules. We set the rules for sexuality. We set the rules for style. We determine what is good and what is evil. Not you, not God. And we believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest evil. You're a bad person. If you believe that Jesus of Nazareth, and you're determined to do even as he taught you, and we're going to re-educate you, and we're going to make you like us. And we, by God's grace, say no. We will not conform ourselves to you. But we pray that God will conform us for his glory more and more to Christ. This comes to us, this conforming power comes to us through the television. It comes to us through our devices. It comes to us in all kinds of ways on every side, a different view of your body. Where are you getting your view of the body, of your body as a young woman, of your body as a young man? Where are you getting it from? Are you getting it from the King, the Lord Jesus, who redeemed it in his blood? Is that what I'm doing? Where do we get our view of authority? Where do we get our view of work? Where do we get our view of being a father, of being a mother, of being a woman? Where do we get our view of leadership and love and anything? We must take it from the Word of God. And that's the problem with total depravity. Children, you remember Midas, that king? Whatever he touched turned into gold. Whatever total depravity touches turns into corruption. Get it all wrong. Total depravity gets it all wrong. What God has created good. The body that God has created good. The world gets it all wrong. they want you to compromise. By grace we say, by faith we say, no, we're not weirdos. We understand what you're saying to us. We understand that. But we will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And for his sake, we will present our body as a sacrifice and devotion to him. And be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's biblical sanctification. The negative, put off the old man, don't be conformed to the world, followed always, and we should be listening as parents, followed always and primarily because of the positive, be transformed. Biblical sanctification is not no, period. No, don't do that. Why? Because of this. Because of this. This great good. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may demonstrate in your body the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not conformation, but transformation. Transformation refers to that inward work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. It refers to an inward change. Live out of that inward change that God has worked in your heart by his wonderful grace. Be ye transformed. It's present tense, so that means continually being transformed, being renewed by your mind through the Holy Scripture, is in a passive voice, which means that this is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. He is transforming us. He's the author of this. And then it's in the imperative. It's a calling given to us. Do this. And the result of this, that ye, this is purpose, result, be transformed for this purpose, that ye may prove, demonstrate, show what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God there is a reference to his preceptive will, to the will of his commandments, to his will as to how we as his children live. By dedicating our bodies in all that we do to the service of God, we are demonstrating to the world that good, that acceptable, that perfect will of God. God's will, God's commandments are good. They're good. They're good for us. They are acceptable, not to man and not to this world, but they're acceptable to God, and they're perfect. There's nothing better than God's will. Don't conform, don't compromise, don't comply with how the world wants you to live in your body. Don't follow them. Don't be pressed into their mold. Don't become like them in how you view the body. It's mine. Do it what I want. I can use it for what I want. Nobody can tell me. I can change it. Don't be pressed into their mold. But be transformed by God's grace through his word, and deliberately try to show in how you function in your body that God's will is good and perfect and pleasing to him. Then the motivation, I beseech you by the mercies of God, those mercies of God that are shown to us are so vast and so rich beyond all measure that God would make a wretch like me his treasure, having received those mercies. I want to serve him. I want to be devoted to him. I know I'm so far from perfection. We will not get anywhere near perfection, but that's my desire, that transformed life. I want to present my body in service to him. This can only be in us if we understand his mercies. If the doctrine is at root in the heart, if the doctrine is not at root in the heart, then all of this is useless. It won't do anything. The whole sermon will do nothing. But when, by God's grace, this word of salvation, this grace of God, this mercy is in our hearts, then it will. That truth, by the Holy Spirit, that will bring forth the beginning and the progressing of sanctification in our life. And we will see that our life, our body, has to be placed on that altar of thanks to God. And then the second motivation is, he says, this is your reasonable worship. This is utterly rational. This makes sense. We can understand it better if I put it in the negative. Ungodly living in the body for a redeemed in the blood of Christ Christian. Ungodly living and all of that in the body for a young man, young woman, teenager, older person is the most foolish, out of line, irrational, dumb, cold, and cruel thing we can do. It makes sense that if the blood of Christ was shed for this body, and that's my comfort, that it makes sense that my body be laid on the altar of service to God. Anything else doesn't make sense at all. Christian living is not dorkish, weird, foolish, odd. It makes sense. It's wonderful. It's something that we want more and more. And we want it because of what he has done for us. Amen. We pray for thy blessing upon thy word that we have heard tonight. We know that it is spoken in weakness. We know, Lord, that there are things that were said that upon examination might well not measure up to thy holy glory. Yet we believe thy word. We believe that we have heard that word, that our bodies are not for sin, but that our bodies in all their aspects are for thee. Give us then to be intent in a loving heart to present a living sacrifice of our bodies to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.